हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 39, chapter 85, canto 10. The Vedic version, tattvam asi, thou art the same, means not that everyone is God, but that everyone is qualitatively as the same nature as God. Right? So Krishna and all the living entities, they have those same qualities, inherent same qualities. Right? The great Ishwaras have a touch more, and then Vishnu has more than that. Right? But those are just because he's God. So he has qualities that the jiva does not require to interact with God. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. Then the qualities that are required, that the jivas have. Right? And we see those qualities in the other living entities, unless they're also like the Surup Shakti, and that, then they'll also have beyond. Because they take part as the, because Krishna creates a universe, but that means he does it through his internal potency. So then they have those same qualities. But to interact in rasa, then we don't require beyond the 50 qualities that are there in the soul. Yes. So we're not missing anything. You don't have to worry.
Yes. When we say that the jiva is forgetful of Krishna, forgetfulness
yes.
is also one of the qualities.
Forgetfulness is the quality.
I'm asking. Should be something.
I mean, if you want to replace one of the 50 with that, you can, if you'd like, I'm sure.
But because what you mentioned, that all the qualities that we require.
But do we require forgetfulness of Krishna for rasa?
No, we have it.
Yeah, so we have some few extra, Krishna has some nice extra ones, and we have some not so nice extra ones. It means forgetfulness is lack of remembrance. Does that make sense? So let's say, so, you know, if you say someone's hungry, it's not something that stands on its own. It means that you're not full. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a negative of the, when there's darkness, it just means there's no light. It's not a separate quality on its own. Does that make sense? Yeah, so therefore the negative come in, but they have those potencies because of Krishna's potency. Right? So then they can function like that. Because if you have one, then naturally you have the other. But, you know, you choose what you work with. It's just like, let us say, you know, for your house, you have, you know, all nice facilities and all that. But now, naturally, since you have that house, you also have a go-down, where you keep all kinds of stuff. Right? But where do you hang out?
Not there.
Yeah, not in the go-down. It's your go-down. You control the go-down. You put things in. You take things in, like that. But you don't stay there. It's not your choice. So that Krishna has his energies, and so therefore it is the positive and the negative, but it doesn't mean he has to associate and hang out with the negative. But it just means it's there. If you have the positive, there must be the negative. Otherwise, how does the, what is the positive? How does it have meaning? Right? It has meaning because there's a negative. We say good, that means there has to be bad. Right? But in interacting with him, then it's you use the good. You know, and if you want to avoid associating with him, then you can have the bad. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, hearing these instructions spoken to him by the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva became free from all ideas of duality. Satisfied at heart, he remained silent. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, having given up his concept of the existence of diverse entities, vinastha nana vihi, thinking it is true all this universe is one Brahman, so in that way my two sons are also the supreme. He attained such knowledge and became silent, right? Because otherwise he was seeing it as a separate thing. Because then what's happening is you're thinking that Krishna's creation is separate from him, but it's non-different. Right? Does that make sense? But there's a difference in one is dealing with the impersonal, one's dealing with the personal. Right? The creation is situated on the impersonal. That's its basis.
Yes.
But the impersonal is situated on the personal. That makes sense? Right? Yes, so that's how it's working. That's why the material world is not that interesting, because it's just based on the impersonal. Right? Because we can say impersonal, no, but there's things and there's variety. No, we're talking about actual impersonal. We're not talking about the Maya bodies and the Buddhist illusory concept of impersonal. In other words, there is no such thing as just this one Brahman, that there's nothing. It doesn't exist. Or the void, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Brahman has all these qualities, but there's no material quality. Therefore, it's qualityless.
Yes.
But they're not manifest, therefore it's impersonal. Does that make sense? Like if I say ducks, it's impersonal. Because it's not about a specific duck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when we say that duck, then that's personal.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, the material world is based on the knowledge, the names, the qualities that are there, the interactions, the results, all secondary things. That's all based on Brahman. Right? And so that being based on Brahman, then it doesn't go beyond that. Material doesn't go beyond the Brahman. Because there's no interest in the personal. To go beyond Brahman, you have to be interested in the person. So when you take up that devotion to Krishna, you see everything, all these knowledge and skills and endeavors, results in connection to Krishna. Right? Then that becomes spiritual. That's personal. But otherwise, we're just dealing here in the world, we're doing these things. It appears to be personal, but it's still just about the dead matter that's going on. You ever seen that it was a drawing done in Europe during the bubonic plague? Right? You know bubonic plague? It's that plague that kind of went through Europe and like half the people died.
Oh, black plague.
Huh?
Black plague.
Yeah,
black plague. Black plague. Yeah, but it's technically bubonic is, I guess, the bug. Whatever, the black plague. It didn't come to France, right? They were fine.
No.
Wiped out 90% of England.
Yeah,
it also went to France.
Of course. The whole Europe was like...
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there, okay.
So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. How you say?
Yeah.
I would say, if the Frenchman was not there for a historic event, did it actually happen? that's the aphorism, right? Yes, very deep philosophical. Okay, so in this, they had one. What do you call it? Satirical cartoon. You understand? Satire means where they joke on something. There, it's a joke, but it's actually dealing with something very real, you know, like that. So they had, so the bubonic plague or the black plague, whatever you want to call it, then whenever people got it, because they didn't know what to do with it, because they had no idea in those days about how to deal with this thing. So they only had a very limited time to live. So then what they would do, they would just party straight all the way through until they actually died, dropped dead. You know, so I don't know. It wasn't a very long time once you got it. It wasn't like you had months. So it was some days. And so then they would part. So this satirical cartoon had this whole party where all these people, all these guys are dressed up and their hats and they're dancing and, you know, a big ballroom and all that and whole party going on. But they're all skeletons. Right? You know, in other words, they're all dead, but they're partying, you know. So as good as dead. Once you got bubonic plague, you were as good as dead. You know, that was it. So, yeah. Now we're there. History is caught up.
Okay. He was there then?
No. He knew some people that were there that were there like that. So, you know, there's a connection. It's just that we didn't have the right connection.
Yes, many people died.
Many people died, yeah. Some countries, you know, 30%, 50%, 70%, like that. It was very big. So, and the fun part is they figured, that, I mean, one of the simplest way they got rid of it was just taking a bath with some soap. It was just they weren't clean.
They said only washing your hands would have helped.
20%. Yeah, 20%. Just washing hands. Yeah, because I think in San Francisco during that big earthquake they had like 100 years ago or something, or more, then the plague broke out there because it's just dirty. Rats are there, everything's there. But if you just are clean, it goes away. Yes. You know, so that's why you don't see it now because people are clean.
And the doctor, they didn't wash their hands, and they said that's how it spread.
Yeah. They touch one, then they touch the next. And, yes, all glories to him. So the point being is, that's the nature of the material world. We're thinking we're having a party, but it's just a bunch of, you know, dead, you know. You understand? That's actually what we're dealing with. So for the soul, then, that means you may use the proper qualities, you may not, but it's just that, so the only changes, you only take on that eternal principle when you use the qualities, whatever you have, in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? That's progressive. So, then you see everything in connection with Krishna and then beyond Krishna, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning beyond to Krishna, beyond the Brahman. So, that everyone's there, the dead matter's there, and it has these shapes and forms, and it's men, women, and adults, and children, and people, and animals, and all these different kinds of things. But it's still functioning on the generic qualities that are there in Brahman, in the universal form. So technically, if you look at it it's not actually personal. Because the only person involved is the soul. Since the soul identifies with the body, you're not actually dealing with the person. Yes. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like two people, they each have like, you know, some dolls or something, and then, you know, they talk to each other through the dolls. Oh, hi, how are you today? Oh, I'm really great and all that. Well, love you out, man. Yeah, okay, what did you do today? Yeah, well, you know. So it's not actually about them. So that's why the material world, and we say it's based on Brahman, we mean, you know, lock, stock, and barrel. So only when the living entity understands they're the soul and their relationship with Krishna, now you're talking about the person. Because otherwise, those that understand they're the soul, they're not interested in the personal. Right? They're interested in liberation. So that's also not about personal. Right? But because the nature of the soul is a person, then you try to affect personal interactions, personal dealings, and all. But it's based on the modes of nature, so it's actually how personal is it? Understand? Because it's not actually dealing with the real soul, you know, nature of the soul. Does that make sense? So now all that kind of duality is gone, and so now Vasudeva sees everything as non-different from Krishna, Krishna is everything. He's the supreme, but at the same time is he can be his son. Because otherwise he's thinking, for him to be God, he can't be my son. And to be my son, it's Maya. So he's beyond Maya, so he can't be my son. But if he's everything, then he can be God and your son. That makes sense? Yes.
So Maharaj, Brahman, can we say it is like life?
Brahman is the effulgence of Krishna's qualities. It's consciousness. It's that conscious aspect. Because to have it means if you're only if you're conscious and you have knowledge, is there qualities, can there be action? Can there be results?
Yes.
Right? So if you're not conscious, what can you get? So that's why people who are successful at what they do is because they're conscious. They're conscious so they can take the knowledge, they can apply it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so when they have that, because of that, so Krishna is the supreme consciousness, and so therefore he has the supreme knowledge. Everybody else is part and parcel of his consciousness and that knowledge. So according to how we deal with him, then he reveals knowledge to us. Right? Then we can function.
But when we are in the material world, means we see only matter.
We only see
that. And we are, our body is made of matter.
Yes, our body, everything we're dealing with is made. But it's Krishna's energy.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. So the Krishna means if we're not Krishna conscious, then we are only associating with the external energy.
Yes.
Right? The modes of nature and that. But if you're Krishna conscious, then you're actually associating with Krishna, but in his feature as the creation.
Yes.
But because one is Krishna conscious, you remember it's the person who's effulgence
is
the basis of the material world.
It's like a step.
It's a step, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. And so the more one is absorbed in that, the less steps there are and the more automatic it is.
Yes.
Yeah, so instead of every few years, then it's, moment by moment. So having attained such knowledge, now he became silent. Because before he was talking based on having this concept of duality. But now that was gone, now he had nothing to say in this matter. And so he became silent. Right? Because this was just a response to his reaction to hearing about Krishna's glories from the sages. Right? And then by Krishna speaking, then he understood things in the proper way. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "At that time, O best of the Kurus, the universally worshipped Devaki took the opportunity to address her two sons, Krishna and Balarama. Previously, she had heard with astonishment that they had brought their spiritual master's son back from death. Now, thinking of her own sons who had been murdered by Kamsa, she felt great sorrow. And thus, with tear-filled eyes, she beseeched Krishna and Balarama." The BBT purport states, "Vasudeva's love for Krishna had been disturbed because his awareness of Krishna's opulence is conflicted with seeing him as his son. In a different way, Devaki's love was somewhat distracted by her lamentation for her dead sons." Right? So she didn't think that they weren't sons, she just thought of the other sons.
Yes.
Right? "So Krishna arranged to relieve her of the mistaken idea that anyone else but him was actually her son. Since Devaki is known to be worshipped by all great souls, her show of maternal affection must actually have been an effect of the Lord's yoga maya, who increases the pleasure of his pastimes." Right? Because here's lamentation for the dead son, so that you could say is that that would be a material thing. Vasudeva's thing is a bewilderment because it was adjusting the rasa. But it was not that he was any less Krishna conscious. But in here, then we see is Devaki is apparently lamenting for her dead sons.
Yes.
So we would take that as a material thing.
Yes.
So then the Acharyas point out, then that means it must be by yoga maya. Because otherwise, why would that happen? Just like Arjuna, right? He's an eternal associate. Why would he manifest this seeming lamentation about family members?
Well, you said that her sons were all those Kama, Krodha, Lobha.
But does that matter to a mother?
No.
Yeah, then.
but he wants to bring them back.
We shall see. Okay, so since Devaki is known to be worshipped by all great souls, her show of maternal affection must actually have been an effect of the Lord's yoga maya, who increases the pleasure of his pastimes. Thus, in text 54, Devaki will be described as Mohita Mayaya Vishnoho, bewildered by the internal energy of Lord Vishnu. Because then it makes for a nice pastime. Sri Devaki said, O Rama, O Rama, Rama, immeasurable Supreme Lord, O Krishna, Lord of all masters of yoga, I know that you are the ultimate rulers of all universal creators, the primeval personalities of Godhead. Taking birth from me, you have now descended to this world in order to kill those kings whose good qualities have been destroyed by the present age, and who thus defy the authority of revealed scriptures and burden the earth. Right, so here's, that's one of these symptoms, is there, they lose the good qualities by the association with this age, means they take up that position of trying to see everything in connection with themselves, sense gratification, and who defy the authority of the revealed scriptures. So always one has to function according to scriptures. Yes. It's not that, oh, the rules are there, we chant, we don't care for the rules. It just means there may be other rules that we prefer and follow that don't, but we don't necessarily follow another rule. Does that make sense? It's not that we're disregarding the rules of the Vedas. No, we're always following the rules of the Vedas. But the rules of the Vedas are very broad, so they accommodate so many mentalities and personalities and activities that then the acharyas show which ones are for us. If you want to go back to Godhead, follow these ones. You know, it's just like you go to a bus stand. How many buses are there? How many roads can they go on? Right? You know, people want to go everywhere, so buses are there. Right? But if you want to get to a specific place, you have to get on that bus. Right? So there's a process. You get in that line, you buy that ticket, you go sit on that bench, you get in that bus. Right? You know, you stay on the bus. Does that make sense? And then it will work. So it's not that, oh, it's like, you know, we take anything or we reject everything. No, we take what is important for us. Right? So that's one of the demoniac mentalities, is defying the authority of the Vedas. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, if we say, I chant Hare Krishna, I don't care about the rules, fine, as long as it's not an excuse. Right? It's about, we're chanting. I don't have time to do those other things there because I'm chanting. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? If I don't have time to put on a dhoti, fine. Pants are quicker. Great. But at the same time as, am I... No, I'm not talking about you. I mean, if the pants fit, wear it, right? But what we're meaning is that, but do they have time for Facebook? Do they have time for all kinds of other things like that? No, someone who's just chanting that they don't care about the rules, they don't do anything else. Do you hear of Haridas Thakur doing anything else other than chanting?
There was no Facebook then.
But do you hear him doing anything else anyway? He could have been, you know, playing sitar, he could have been doing all kinds of stuff. You know, riding around on an elephant, you know, he could have been, you know, plenty of things he could have been doing. Eating samosas all day, you know. Right? But he's not. You only hear of him chanting and discussing, preaching the glories of the Lord. You don't hear him doing anything else. You know, you don't even really hear about him sleeping, you know? Yeah, so that's the meaning, we just chant, don't care about anything else. So it's fine. It is bona fide to just chant 24 hours a day and not worry about anything else. You can do that. But don't say that and not do it. Don't quote one rule to break another rule and not follow that rule. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In Manu Samhita, you mentioned like how to get rid of Panchashona Yajna by doing this five Ahuta Ahuta, by calling Krishna consciousness, like reading books and chanting.
Yes, yes. So we do that. Otherwise, if you don't do that, then you're liable. So if someone's not practicing Krishna consciousness and not doing this, they have problems.
Right?
Because you're obliged. You know, just like you're obliged to pay your rent. You don't pay your rent, there's problems. You can say, no, but I'm a devotee. Why is the landlord bothering you? No, because you're living in his apartment. You don't want to pay rent, don't live in an apartment. Is that kind of... No, good. You're just thinking about all the... Oh, I didn't... Okay. O soul of all that be, the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe are all carried out by a fraction of an expansion of an expansion of your expansion. Right? Because it's that his expansion, you know, you think Balaram, then his expansion, Mahasankarsana, Mahavasudeva, like this. Then you have the expansion, means Mahavishnu. And then he just takes care of the whole creation with a glance. One glance. Right? You know, for a moment. A glance is just a look. It's not, it doesn't say, you know, he sat there and stared, you know, with great, you know, focus and termination of the material energy until finally then something happened. No, he just glanced. So how much potency does that take? Right? Not so much, right? So that's the point. Carried out by a fraction, you know, of an expansion of your expansion. So, you know, so it doesn't take much to run this whole place. So we can imagine how wonderful is the spiritual world, which then has the full potency. It is said that when your spiritual master ordered you to retrieve his long-dead son, you brought him back from the forefather's abode as a token of remuneration for your guru's mercy. Please fulfill my desire in the same way, O supreme masters of all yoga masters. Right? Because to do such thing means that you have to use mystic powers. And so they're the masters of all yoga masters.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, meaning they could do it. Please bring back my sons who were killed by the king of Boja, so that I may see them once again. Right? So in other words, who killed her sons? Right? The king of Boja.
Yes.
Right? Her brother wouldn't do that. The king of Boja did that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Verses 34-59. Krishna brings back Devaki's sons. The sage Sukadev said, thus entreated by their mother, O Bharata, Balarama and Krishna employed their mystic yoga maya potency and entered the region of Sutala. When the king of the Daityas, Bali Maharaj, noticed the arrival of the two lords, his heart overflowed with joy, since he knew them to be the supreme soul and worshipable deity of the entire universe, and especially of himself. Because remember, he's the devotee of Vamanadeva. Right? He immediately stood up and then bowed down to offer respects, right? Because you stand, because otherwise when someone senior comes, the life airs go up. So if you stand, you'll catch them. If not, you lose them. Right? So you stand up, then bow down. Because you can think, oh, that's more effort and more energy. But it's less energy because you caught your energy, then you bow down with that energy. And if you just sit there and kind of in your, how you say, you know, cross-legged, kind of roll forward, touch your head on the ground, and roll back, then, you know, you don't, it means that's all the energy you have to do because you lost it. So, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It's very scientific.
Yes, very scientific. Very scientific.
Also very subtle.
Sorry?
It's also very subtle.
Yeah, it's subtle. But I mean, life errors are subtle. So.
Even in all the past tense, when the sages come, Krishna gets
up. They always stand up, then bow down. Because you see the person, so you stand up, then you bow down because of the relationship. You know, if you just straight bow down, it's because you're supposed to. It's not about the person. You understand? That's the difference. He immediately stood up and then bowed down to offer respects, along with his entire entourage. Bali took pleasure in offering them elevated seats. After they sat down, he washed the feet of the two supreme personalities. Then he took that water, which purifies the whole world, even up to Lord Brahma, and poured it upon himself and his followers. He worshipped them with all the riches at his disposal. Priceless clothing, ornaments, fragrant sandalwood paste, betel nut, lamps, sumptuous food, and so on. Thus he offered them all his family's wealth and also his own self. Right? Because he's known for Atmani Vedana. Right?
Yes.
That's his position.
Yes.
He's the one who you know best illustrates that. And we know that he got the benediction that he has all facilities. So he has greater facilities than Indra.
Yes.
Right then. And so then he's offering all that for the service of Krishna. The BBT purport states, Bali Maharaj's devotional attitude is renowned as the perfect example of complete self-surrender. When Lord Vishnu, in the guise of a young Brahmana student, approached him for charity, Bali offered all he possessed, and when he had nothing more to offer, he surrendered himself as the Supreme Lord's eternal servant. There are 9 standard processes of devotional service, and the last, Atma Samarpanam, as taught by Bali Daityaraj, is the culmination towards which every endeavor should aim. If one tries to impress the Lord with wealth, power, intelligence, and so on, but fails to humbly understand him, oneself to be a servant, one's so-called devotion is only a presumptuous show, right? Because it's only dealing with the secondary. It's connected to the Lord. You'll be purified. It's pious. But it won't actually get the desired result. You won't get devotion. Because if it's just as a show, it's not about Krishna. You're just trying to impress everybody and how he's the greatest and you're the greatest and all, you know, it's all great. So it won't actually give a very good result. So therefore we see Bali Maharaj is so perfect because he gave everything, because he controlled the three worlds. He gave that, and when there was, he gave himself. So that's the point. So we see also even in the there's a festival. I don't think it's so much practiced up here, up north. But in south, this Bali Daityaraj Puja. There's a thing. Sometimes, I don't know. Ever seen that on the wall, I think you have these dots. I can't remember. It's 3 or 5 dots. And then the red dots and then this kind of like stream of red down from them. You've ever seen them? No?
It's called as Bali Pratipada. That's what we call it as Bali Pratipada.
Yes. But it's the same point. Right? So, it's worship of Bali Maharaj, right? It's before doing a specific auspicious activity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, you're going to do, let's say, the Griha Pravesh, or you're going to do some other nice thing. So it's many times in many circles is one of the activities to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what would be the point being here? Are we just getting his blessings and that's all? Or if we take it in this context, is that we're going to perform some kind of auspicious activity. But remembering Bali Maharaj, then we should ourselves surrender ourselves to serving the Lord in the offering of these things. Otherwise, it's just, it's not so serious.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? In other words, we don't generally use this because it's just about that surrender and doing those. But those who have more of a ritualistic practice, then it will be part of their methodology. And so it's to bring out that point of that full surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they just take it as somebody else to impress so I get what I want. Right? But that's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to get his blessings that you can surrender to the Lord, following in his footsteps. Therefore, whatever you're doing, you're offering that to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
So Bali Maharaj, he stays the same, always surrender in any situation. Is Indra.
Yes. Sutala. I think it's
lowest.
Two down below the earth. Yeah.
Okay.
Atala Vitala Sutala. So it's the third one down from earth.
Yes. Okay.
You know, the fourth one up from the bottom. So it's kind of in the middle. So he gets light from both the Nagas above him and the Nagas below him. So, nicely situated.
But there are not supposed to be many devotees.
No, there's him.
Yes.
And then whoever's his associate.
Yes, yes.
But otherwise, no. They're not. That's the whole point. He was a demon, but he surrendered, so he became a great devotee.
Yes.
And so then he's there. Prahlad Maharaj lives
yes.
there.
Yes.
You know. So in that way, then, those who have that faith, then they take up. That's why you see sometimes the prayers, it'll say, the devotees, the demigods and the demons worship you. So these are the demons that are worshiping him. Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, like this. What's up?
After the soup stays there, it's a doorkeeper, isn't it?
Yeah. He may also sometimes go up to Indra's place. But I'm not sure if that's still, if he's... I'm not sure if that pastime happens... No, because he becomes the next Indra. So I would expect it happened in this set, because then Vamanadeva is the Manvantara avatar. He protects Indra. So that means sometimes he must go up there, but otherwise he's, you know. Yeah. Yes. But it means the next one. So that means it must have happened within this Manvantara. When... that I can say.
And moreover, because he's a Daitya Raj, it mentions that all the associates or the citizens over there are demons. And
all the associates are demons. Demons means that they're from that background.
Yeah, that background. Yes.
You know, like so saying somebody's from, you know, Assam or something. So it's just that's their family lineage. They're Daityas or Danavas, so they're coming down in line from Danu and Diti. But that doesn't necessarily mean that their mentality is demoniac, but it would be the natural course to be like that.
Yeah. Because Vamanadeva mentions, if they don't follow you, Bali Maharaj, then I will see to that they will be destroyed. So then, therefore, you know, it is expected that because he is the king, like the Raj, then all should become devotees. You
know? Yeah, yeah. But it's just, but their background, their genealogy, is from the demon mind. Like that. So they'll look like that. You know, those big mustaches. You know that whole thing. Sukadeva Goswami continued, taking hold of the Lord's Lura's feet again and again, Bali, the conqueror of Indra's army, spoke from his heart, which was melting out of his intense love. O king, as tears of ecstasy filled his eyes and the hairs on his limbs stood on end, he began to speak with faltering words. Srila Prabhupada describes this scene as follows in Krishna book. King Bali was feeling such transcendental pleasure that he repeatedly grasped the Lord's lotus feet and kept them on his chest, and sometimes he put them on the top of his head. And in this way, he was feeling transcendental bliss. Tears of love and affection began to flow down from his eyes, and all his bodily hairs stood on end. King Bali said, obeisances to the unlimited Lord, Ananta, the greatest of all beings, and obeisances to Lord Krishna, the creator of the universe, who appears as the impersonal absolute and the supersoul in order to disseminate the principles of Shankhya and Yoga. Right, because Shankhya, you're analyzing the universe, and Yoga, you're connecting with the Supreme. Mm-hmm. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, I offer respects to the second member of Krishna's Vyuha, Anantaya. The gopis, in lamentation, addresses him as the friend of Ananta, or Balaram, Ananta Shakaha, right? Because Sankarshan, Balaram, Ananta, it's the same line. It's that line of Sankarshan. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39:30. This name includes Shesha. That is indicated by the word Brihate, huge. I offer respects to Krishna, famous as Swayam Bhagavan, Krishnaya, since he is the creator of everything. Quote, but the Jnana scriptures speak of Brahman and the Yoga scriptures speak of Paramatma. What about them? So the answer, he is the object of the scriptures of Jnana and Yoga. He is indicated by those scriptures in his partial form. Kapila Dev says, the goal of Gyan fixed on my expansion as Brahman, beyond the gunas and the goal of bhakti are actually only one goal, which is known by the word Bhagavan, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:32-32. Thus I offer respects to you who are Brahman and Paramatma. Because if you say Brahman, Brahman has its basis in Krishna. So therefore, for the devotees, if you have Bhagavan, means you have the Brahman also. So the goal is that. Otherwise, how is Brahman situated? It's situated on Krishna. So you won't have Brahman without Krishna. So actually, if you're a jnani and you're trying to create the ultimate goal of attaining to Brahman realization, then you have to come to Brahman is situated on Para Brahman. So you actually have to come to Para Brahman realization. If you're actually a jnani, like you see, many great, like Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now these are actual jnanis. They want to know knowledge. They want to know Brahman. But then when they find out that this Brahman is situated on the personal Brahman, then they take that up. Bali Myers continued, seeing you lords is a rare achievement for most living beings. But even persons like us, situated in the modes of passion and ignorance, can easily see you when you reveal yourself by your own sweet will. Right? So even he's saying even that he's unqualified because he's in passion and ignorance. You know, because he's the king there, he has all his facilities, he has his family, his entourage, and so he's absorbed in that. But he's absorbed seeing all this in connection to Krishna. But he'll just see the external, the secondary of what he's using. And so I'll say, by your own sweet will, he wouldn't reveal. So Krishna's come there so he can see him. So he's pointing out is when you reveal, then we can see. Not that I'm such a great devotee, that's why I can see. Right? He's not doing that.
But now he has a lot of humility.
Yes. Well, that's why that full surrender. You know, the Atma Samarpanam. You know, that complete surrender. So naturally that humility you'll see. Many who had been constantly absorbed in enmity towards you ultimately became attracted to you. Right? Because they're always absorbed in the Lord. By absorbing in the Lord, they get purified, and then they become attracted. Right? Because of impurity, they're not attracted, and then they become attracted. Right? Who are the direct embodiment of transcendental goodness, and whose divine form comprises the revealed scriptures. Right, so his form is the revealed scripture. Right, mm-hmm. So therefore, that's why we don't neglect the scriptures, yes. Blasphemy the scriptures, like that. Holy name doesn't like it. But, yeah. These reformed enemies include Daityas, Danavas, Gandharvas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Charnas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Pisachas, Bhutas, Pramatas, and Nayakas. And also ourselves and many others like us. Right? Means, you know, we're that kind of on the other side of the the earth wallas, right? The antariksha. These are all antariksha wallas. Right? Means he's not talking about the demigods because they're in Swarga. So then Indra is from there, Swarga Loka, and then above that, Maharjana Tapa, like this. That's all, they're all demigods. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Then you have the earth, they're humans. Mm-hmm. Right? And then what's below the earth and what's between the earth and the heavenly planets, that's antariksha. Mm-hmm. So all these living entities are all in those places. Yes. So generally they're more powerful than humans, but they tend to be a bit more, you know, materialistic and proud of their position and everything like that. Huh? So we see that in various stories that all these different personalities, they've all surrendered to Krishna. Like the Vidyadharas, they were the two Yamal Arjun trees. Yes, yes. You know, so you have different situations like that where they all come from. Some of us have become attracted to you because of exceptional hatred, while others have become attracted because of their mood of devotion based on lust. But the demigods and others infatuated by material goodness feel no such attraction for you. Right, because everything's great. They're in the mode of goodness. They're doing the right thing. Everything's very nice. Even though they're devotees, they get distracted by the facility. But these demons, then, you know, they're into all these different things, sense gratification. They're inimical to the Lord. But then when they focus on the Lord, they actually focus. But the point is, the demigods, they, being absorbed in material goodness, they don't focus on the Lord. But these demons that he's talking about, they're inimical to the Lord, so they think all the time about Krishna, and they get purified. Right? So don't think, oh, then I could be a demon. But the point is you have to 24/7 be thinking of Krishna. So if you're not doing it now, you're not going to do it by becoming a demon. Right? In other words, you don't have enough accumulated sinful activities to be able, you know, like that. You know, it's Prabhupada, that one devotee was telling Prabhupada, oh, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You know, that's the humility. Because even I'm the most fallen, then I have an identity. Yes, I'm the most fallen. So I'm more fallen than everybody else. So my humility is greater than your humility. Right? But here's, if we think I'm not the most of anything, then one is humble. To become one of these, you have to be pious enough to follow the Vedic rules to get the power to come up to these positions. You know, means if you're not following the Vedic version, then you will drop down. You know, you may go to these places where these guys live, but you might be, you know, one of their dogs or something. Because these guys, they followed the Vedic things, just that there's some other materialistic element or some other, you know, kind of thing like that, or something bad. So then they end up in these positions.
Seventh canto, the demigods, when they are telling, reporting to the Lord for the determination of Hiranyakashipu, he's saying that I am the soul, time is eternal, I am eternal, so to attain Lord Brahma's position, I will endeavor for this using Tapa Yoga Samadhi, lifetime after lifetime, I will achieve that goal. So no ordinary demon of the Kali Yuga can think of this high level Vedic determination.
No, it's just they're so determined. I mean, it's there, you're standing on your toes with your arms up in the air, because he's using Talasan, which means you stand on your toes, and you extend your arms above your head with your fingers out, you know, completely spread out, so they look like tall leaves, you know. And so, you know, not an easy pose to stand in, right? So you'd have to be very focused to be that balanced to be able to do it. And he did it so long that the ants came along, the white ants, build a termite hill around him, you know, because it's so much easier to build something on something standing there rather than just an air. And so all there was bones. And he has the mystic potency to keep the life air circulating in the bones. So if you can do that, then you can take up this process. Otherwise, we just stick to what the acharyas give us. You know, chant, dance, take prasad, you know, a lot easier. Yes, that's a good point. The BBT purport states, Srila Jiva Goswami explains this passage as follows. The Gandharvas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, and Charanas are adversaries of the Supreme Lord when they follow the lead of the Daitya and Danava Devas. The Yakshas, Rakshasas, Pisachas, and so on tend to be inimical because they are generally covered by ignorance. There are some rascals in the pure mode of ignorance, like Shishupal and Pandrika, who are totally absorbed in meditation on the Lord as their enemy, and this fixed consciousness earns them liberation. Others, in a mixed condition of passion and ignorance, associate with the Lord with a desire for position and prestige. Maharaj Bali sees himself as belonging to this category. Right, so he's pointing out how all these different ones are there. So these Gandharvas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, they may not be in the demoniac thing, but they might take up following these Daitya and Danavas for some purpose. And so then in that way, then they take up that mentality. Right? You know, then Yakshas, Rakshasas, Paisachas, then they have a tendency to be covered by ignorance. They're powerful, but they're covered by ignorance. So, yet Lord Vishnu favored Bali by becoming his doorkeeper in the subterranean region of Sutala, just as he favored the demons by killing and liberating them, and the Gandharvas by engaging them and singing his glories. On the other hand, the Lord awards sense gratification to those demigods who are proud of their being situated in the mode of goodness. Thus they become deluded and forget him. Because it means cycle of samsara, it just keeps going around. You go up. See, is that on your way up, you're following the rules. Mm-hmm. And so you could say, halfway up, then, you know, you'll be following very nicely and very austere, so it'll elevate you very nicely. But then facilities start to come. Right? Because of the results of that karma. Mm-hmm. But then one starts to become attached to that and are proud of that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but you're still, as long as your piety is your prominent, you'll keep going up. Mm-hmm. But as soon as then that predominance is there, pride and these other, you know, negative qualities, then that's when you start down the other side. Mm-hmm. Right? But then you could say for that first part down, there is that element that you're still following some variety of regulated lifestyle or something recommended. But then it gets to the point where one's not anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that will take you on that last quarter down. Yes. And then when you hit the bottom, then it's so much the bottom, then, you know, the only way to look is up. Right? Like if you're down in the bottom of a well, which way can you look? You can only look up. You can't look down, right? So then they'll change the mentality and start to adjust. But it's not that their situation is good. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, you have, let's say, a very bad social environment. You know, very rough on that. But within that, you might find people who are, you know, pious. You know, they actually try to deal nicely. They're on their way up. Mm-hmm. But then the other guys that are nasty, taking advantage, exploiting everyone, trying to do everything, you know, all the bad qualities that, you know, make for a good movie, they're on the way down. Mm-hmm. So they're in the same place, but one's going up, one's going down. Mm-hmm. You understand? Because it's a cycle. It just keeps going around and around and around.
But now, sometimes also inside ourselves, going up and going down.
That's there. But that's the whole point. It's because anything you have, you're just always going to have a small amount of that also. But the point being is that they've come to this top thing. They've been pious. They're like that. So Krishna, and they're proud of that. They identify with it. Krishna awards them that. Because on facilities, they have done the work to get those facilities. But the problem is because of that pride and that attachment, then it's not good for their mentality. Mm-hmm. So then they'll continue. Because of the mode of goodness, they'll do their activities and do the right thing. But they're proud of doing the right thing. And then when that piety runs out for them to stay on that top, that will drop them down to another level. Now they have less facilities, but they have now from the previous, the mentality means externally they have less facilities. But internally they have that same pride and that same hankering for sense gratification. Now you have less facility. There's more pride, there's more desire for sense gratification. What do you do when you have a situation that affords less sense gratification? So to get more, you have to be sinful. Right? Because the mentality is already proud and all that. So it's not that they're going to then take up just doing piety and going back. They'll get back to that after they've gone around. Does that make sense?
There's a lot of time.
Yes. No, you're talking about these are, you know, millions and millions of lifetimes if you go through all this. So
association of devotees, the cycle we break.
Yes, you take up the association of devotees, you step out of this.
If we maintain the association of devotees.
Yes. Means we can get carried away to some degree, but it won't be as much like it. Once someone's done devotional service, they're not in the same category as the karmis. Not like that. Even they, you know, get involved in so much nonsense, they'll never be in the same as the karmis. Because they already, I say, they know too much. Yes.
But we see so many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam that from different categories of living entities, people join and become devotees. Mm-hmm. But that's the main quality. But then the secondary quality, we don't see so much of a change. Mm-hmm. In that specific life, if they were demons, they remain demons. If they were Gandharvas, they remain Gandharvas. Human, mm-hmm. human, like that. So then for us, we concentrate on the main quality. Mm-hmm. And then somehow we expect then the other qualities, the 25 other qualities, will follow that one. But will it happen in this lifetime?
It can.
It can.
Yeah, why not? It's just a matter of you know, how close to the fire you put the pot. Is that, so if one takes advantage of good association, always keeps himself in that association, then you'll generally see that goes quicker. And if someone doesn't take advantage of the association or gives up that association, then things go slower. So it's just up to the choice of the living entity. But they can be. Because the point is the external nature does not have to change. It's the engagement of that nature in Krishna's service. That's the natural change. Like you said here, the Gandharva, it's not that he stops being a Gandharva, but now they sing the Lord's glories. So now their nature to be able to sing gets perfectly utilized. Yeah, so it's the same way as it's not that we start chanting Hare Krishna and then, you know, we're not humans anymore, we take on some other form or something like that.
We just expect that all the good qualities of the demigods somehow will...
They will. They will. Soon. Well, the point is when how long have we been here?
Been here for a while.
Yeah, so then give it a little time.
But we only have one lifetime.
But in one lifetime, you can go back to Godhead.
What are the qualities?
You develop how many much you can. Point is, remember Krishna. It's not about developing the qualities. The qualities are for using Krishna's service, so it's about being engaged in Krishna's service. So whatever qualities you have, you use them for Krishna, then it's natural they develop. But you develop them by engaging what you have in Krishna's service. See, the point is, Krishna is there. Means when you're chanting, you're with Krishna. So you may be waiting, but you're with Krishna. Right? That makes sense. It's just a matter of appreciating that we're with Krishna. So it's not like the dough or something. Right? I'm not sure even how you... I mean, we already said gado, but I don't know. G-A... D-O-T? In French, how would you say that?
Gadot?
You'd say the T.
You'd say the T.
C, Gadot. Okay. So, he doesn't show up, but Krishna's already there. Yes, you don't have to worry.
Vali Maharaj was just waiting. Bali Maharaj was just waiting in Krishna came.
Yes. Yeah, like you said, when you reveal yourself, then. So when Krishna wants, he'll reveal himself.
Wait and see.
Huh?
Wait and see.
Yeah, wait and see. Bali Maharaj continued, "What to speak of ourselves? O Lord of all perfect yogis, even the greatest mystics do not know what your spiritual power of delusion is or how it acts. Please be merciful to me so I may get out of the blind well of family life, my false home, and find the true shelter of your lotus feet, which selfless sages always seek. Then, either alone or in the company of great saints, or the friends of everyone, I may wander freely, finding life's necessities at the feet of the universally charitable tree. In other words, you just surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take care. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes in his commentary to verse 45, therefore, because you let us see you, give us mercy, plural indicates his followers as well. Your feet are sought even by liberated souls, disregarding liberation, but they cannot attain those feet. The feet of you too, or you and devotees like lotuses, destroying all suffering and flowing with sweet rasa. They are a shelter, right? So, Krishna and Balaram, or Krishna and his devotees, you know, either way is that they're like lotuses. So they destroy the suffering, and flowing with sweet rasa. That means there's always the discussions about hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Take us from the blind well of the house, which are not a shelter. It gives suffering, but is unnoticed by the unintelligent. I will attain, because we're dealing with each moment, but we don't notice overall. So maybe after some time, then we start to see. So as the passion and that goes down, then we start to see actually how much trouble is there and how much minimally we're getting back. Because as the soul, how much do you get from family life? Right, facilities for the body and everything like that, and then, you know, that's taken care of. But actually, what does the soul get from it? Does that make sense? That's the whole point, is that at some point you start to see that, and then the focus shifts to how to be always engaged in the Lord's service. Now, we know Balimars, as a household, is always engaged in the Lord's service. But at the same time, as he's doing it through indirect activities. He has his direct, he worships the Lord. But the household life means indirect activities, but he's seeing them all in connection with the Lord. So he's always fully Krishna conscious. Right? So it's the ideal position, it's the household life. But at the same time, it's still dealing with secondary aspects. It's still dealing with secondary. So it won't have the sweetness that the direct will. Does that make sense? So that's why then the devotees, even though they're perfectly situated there in household life, and doing everything properly, they'll still see that there's something beyond it because they could be dealing more in direct activities. Does that make sense? So that's the... Because we see here in this chapter has been a lot, is bringing in the aspect of how the devotees, even though they're situated perfectly in Krishna consciousness, whatever their situation, they're still, how you say, there is the form that they're addressing it through, that devotion. Mm-hmm. And so that secondary form is, you know, has its limitations. Mm-hmm. You know? And so for those who are eternally situated already in perfection, then the mentality of taking up the pastimes of humans, like Krishna. Like Krishna will see, he's Vasudeva's son. Right, so Vasudeva will see Krishna as his son. Right, so that aspect there, but still, because of the nature of family life, you're dealing with secondary aspects, and so family life means there's a lot more secondary aspects. Like, how much secondary aspects do the cowherd boys have in to serve Krishna with? Nothing. They just go out in the forest, and whatever's there, they play with it. You know what I'm saying? But now Mother Jashoda, she has a big house. Right? So, within the apricot pastimes, then they're just absorbed like that because Krishna's there and that's fine. But in the prakat, then there may be times when they do think like this. Oh, we have all this facility and all this, and we're attached. They're attached to it because it's used for Krishna. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, is that they'll look at I'm attached to this rather than it's a, I'm attached because it's for Krishna. Does that make sense? So we see that this is being introduced here. We see, we've seen it before, but it hasn't been addressed by the acharyas. You know, it's been, they mentioned it, but it hasn't been brought up. It hasn't been the point of discussion. What we see here is that very much we're getting this aspect, is that even when it's perfectly situated, when you've followed all the things of the early six cantos, you've seen, you know, from the next cantos that it's all about the connection to Krishna that's important. So now once when it knows how to connect, when it's connecting, but still there's that aspect of the it's all being done for Krishna, it's perfect. But at the same time is then there's the aspect of that life could be simpler. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like that. As long as it's necessary, then it's being performed. But naturally by the time element, at some point it becomes unnecessary. Children grow up, they have children, then you know, they're taking care, they're responsible. They don't want you telling them what to do and this and that. And so now it's time for them to you know, how you say, to carry the mantle. Yeah. So you know, for them to, you know, push on. And then one steps back into the more direct, because one is doing the indirect because of the need for them to be done. If you don't do it, there won't happen. But now the next gen, they're doing it. So technically there's no need for you to do it. So now you switch over to the direct activities. You know, and how much you need to be involved you are, and how much not you don't. So then that's the point, as he's saying, when it gets to the point where you don't need any of this, and then they're just going and living under the trees. Like that. Is that, you know, like, what is it? Kunti Devi, right? She's there taking care of everything. And that, and then it gets to a point then when Vidura, you know, is taking Dhritarashtra to the forest, and she also goes. So she, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, Vidura, they go to the forest. You know, because it's the time, the, you know, the boys can take care of those things themselves. Right? It means it's all done. They, you know, their enemies are destroyed, everything like that. Now they're the emperors of the world again. They can take care. So it's just a natural form. So it's a pastime that goes on within, you can see, the Mahatattva. In Braj and Goloka, they're not, you know, nobody's taking sannyas and vanaprastha. It's just, you know, you don't have to do that. Because there, everything is so focused on Krishna, the secondary is just that little bit of support. But here it takes on a much greater significance than it will there. And so the pastimes here, you see, then the devotees, they naturally go through these stages. Even though they're perfectly situated wherever they are. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So then we're seeing that aspect. Because then that will come up. Right? Because at some point, then it's just about Krishna and the material world. It's about everything's Krishna, everything's there, but the point is that's his Brahman and Paramatma aspect. Then it comes to the point where the focus is so much on the person that then there's separation from the person. So there's not seen as so much importance to the material phenomena that's there, even though it's non-different from Krishna. Does that make sense?
Establish the
Daivaranashram, that this has been followed over here like this? Yes, the Daivaranashram, yes, Daivaranashram is huge. Mm-hmm. It's just that, well, yes, but we're just seeing is that there's a limit to that absorption here. Because that engaging of the secondary has its limit on how satisfying that is. If there's a need, a service, then they can do it for so long. You see, all these great personalities do it for a time, and then at some point you die. Okay. That he used in contemporary kirtans. No, I'm saying in contemporary kirtans and more international kirtans, even the big drum players, they don't use this. Because this is for that kind of slow dancing in between when it's been really fast. You've gone from slow, built up to really fast, and you drop down to this one for some time. You know, and then when it's, then you move into the fast again. And then does that make sense? So there's that element is there. You know. So then this is different from what we were talking about, that aspect of separation of the gopis, because they're fully absorbed. So they'll be thinking of this pastime, that pastime, and then Krishna's not there. So then Krishna shows them how he's in everything, so then everything can be used to remember him, and that way then it becomes... Doesn't mean they're not feeling separation, but at the same time, it just gives a wider range to absorb themselves and maybe a Krishna. But when you're in the when you're here within the coming out of that condition, by even you come to the transcendental position, there still can be a limit to what's there. Right, so that gives that up. Then when all you have is the trees, the universally charitable trees, then that aspect then again comes back and then is used there. You know what I'm saying? It's just a natural, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, it's like the individuals, they find each other, they get married, then they set up a household, they have children, they're already planning for the future and this and that and the education and the marriages and all that. And so it's all got that drive to it, it's going and all that. Then they get married, they do this and that. And then one day they're there, you know, because it's known all this is supposed to happen. Then one day, then they go out the door. And then when you close the door, it's empty. It's gone. Does that make sense? It's just the way it is. It's just how the material world works. And so then, how are you going to feel that? Right? The modern thing is, you know, take up some new occupation, get a boat, travel around the world, do something stupid and all that kind of stuff like that, and then they get too old and they just die anyway. Or, the Vedic system is, take up direct devotional service. Because you don't have to take care of all this and that and the other thing. Now you have that time. You've always had before, you know, when do we get time to chant and read, you know, the kids and this. Now you have it. So then you shift, but it's a sobering mood. It's a sobering position. So that's what Bali Maharaj is talking about. You know, at some point it just winds up, so it's just time to move on. So by the time element, that comes. When that comes, different people will be different with the situation, but it's always going to come. Does that make sense? So you can basically say any time from 50 on, it may be there. So that's the idea. Yeah, so that's why he's saying it's a blind well, because he's engaging it, therefore it's not a blind well. But if he didn't connect it to Krishna, it's a blind well. Right, so being humble, he won't think I'm very Krishna conscious, so then he'll identify him in a blind well. Does that make sense? That's how these things are. Take us from this blind well of the house, which is not a shelter, right? Because it won't shelter the soul. It'll shelter the bodies, the facilities you have for the bodies and stuff like that. But it won't shelter the soul. It gives suffering, but it is unnoticed by the unintelligent, right? Because we're just thinking of the moment. We're moving forward moment by moment. We don't actually notice how everything is disappearing. And then at some point when there's more passage, then we start to notice. You know, like that. I will attain closeness with those feet which give shelter to the universe, causelessly giving benefits. There's no endeavor for this attainment. Just as ripe fruits fall by themselves everywhere. So if you take up Krishna, you just absorb yourself in Krishna, then these fruits, they fall by themselves everywhere. That, just when one falls on you, don't dream up the law of relativity like that. Then you won't get the proper benefit. I will be peaceful at heart in cold or heat, even in the absence of those feet. Right? Because having attained the shelter, now, then, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's this, that, then one will be peaceful at heart. It doesn't mean that when it's hot, he's not hot, and when it's cold, he's not cold. He's just peaceful at heart. He's not thinking, oh, I wish it was this, or I wish it was that, and it's just like that. Or devoid of attachment and hatred alone, constantly chanting and remembering you, or with friends in order to taste the rasa of bhakti. Right? So, devoid of attachment and hatred. Because attachment, then that's the, that's, you know, things that you want. Hatred is things that get in the way of that, or disturb that, or that create an injustice in that. Right? Because if we look at something, oh, I really hate this, but the point is others don't mind it. So it's just, in other words, it gets in the way of something that we like, our attachment. So it's just the other side. Hatred and attachment are two sides of one thing. So either alone, he's constantly chanting and remembering, or with friends in order to taste the rasa of bhakti, right? Because alone you'll chant and remember, and like this. If you're with others, then you'll talk about Krishna, and then that taste of devotional service is there. I will wander about there and there and there, probably here and there. Oh, because there's an extra T, right? You take the T off and get here and there. Because the great devotees are merciful, I am qualified for their association. Right? It's their mercy that makes us qualified. Mm-hmm. It's not that, yeah, I'm such a great guy and all that. Or the shelter of your lotus feet. Raja is sought by the detached. Everything else, all houses, even Brahmaloka, are a blind well, since those who fall into the well cannot attain your place. Right? Because if you're absorbed in that, then that distracts you from that absorption in Krishna. That's why it's not recommended. But one's there, one takes the situations, one connects it to Krishna, one absorbs itself in Krishna, that's done. But at some point you realize that, no, there's nothing here. But in the Vedic system, that's allowed that it naturally takes its course. You may have the realization beforehand, and then out of duty as a grihastha perform your duties until the natural position ends. Or it may be by engaging in Krishna service to get purified, and you only realize it when it does end. But it doesn't matter. As long as it's realized, then it goes on nicely. You go on to the next stage. Therefore, do not give this regard, nishkramya. Being situated near the base of the trees of Vrindavan, Vishvasharanya, or being situated near your feet, the shelter of the universe, giving up friends, some peaceful devotee, Santaha, will wander about. Right? So when it says giving up friends, that means that whole social thing, friends. It doesn't mean the Vaishnavs as friends on the Vaishnav platform. It just means all the social things and who you invite over to dinner and who you talk this prajalpa with and who you talk that, right? You get some new prajalpa, you have to think which person I'm going to talk this prajalpa with. You can't just talk with anybody. Right? So that's what's given up. That's what it means by giving up friends. Or being happy in your association, sometimes being alone with you, Shantaha, and sometimes being with the people of Raja, I will wander about. Or being the most excellent as a cowherd, or being one amongst the cowherds, I will wander with cowherd friends of you, the whole universe, Sarva, in Vrindavan. However, okay. So when he says cowherd here, this can mean any of them, right? Because everyone in Vrindavan, they're cowherds, they're not something else. Right, so the elder gopas and gopis are cowherds. The younger cowherd boys are cowherds. The gopis are cowherds. Right, but it's a generic statement because the cowherds, they're all absorbed on that mood of braja with Krishna, that full surrender. So why would this come up? Because we haven't seen this being brought up in anybody else's prayers before. Right, He's the mood of full surrender. So what does Braja require?
Surrender.
Yeah, so he can appreciate Braja. Because if his mood is full surrender, he's going to really appreciate those who have that full surrender as his you know ideals. So who has that? The residents of the Braja. Yes.
So can we say with this example that it does not require one to be only in the mood of Madhurya or any other rasa so intimate to appreciate and be on the level of full surrender?
Yeah, because all the residents of Vrindavan are in that same full surrender. See, full surrender is the mood of Braja. Then within that full surrender, then there's a various five tastes on how you want to express that full surrender to Krishna.
But Bali Maharaj is not a Vaikuntha Bhakta as such, not according to those
prayers. But even here is that, did Uddhava want to become a blade of grass? Because they appreciate the exalted level of devotion that's there. So they have their natural position, but it doesn't mean that they don't appreciate others. Is that something? Yeah.
Pure is aspiring to become a
cowherd. So it means he's aspiring, but the whole point is that the principle is that you have that aspect of surrender, then you have the details within it. You know what I'm saying? Like you're going to cook lunch, then there's the details of what's the menu, then what are the techniques, what are the ingredients, what are the different, you know, it keeps going down from there. But first you have to start with lunch, which is generic. So you start with the cowherds. That's the generic. You know what I'm saying? That's also another problem with the sahajiyas. They start with the gopis and their conjugal rasa. But that's not how Braja Bhakti starts. It starts with having that surrender of the Braja Vasas. Then within that surrender, then you may prefer expressing it through this rasa or that rasa. It's not that your attraction to Krishna is the first point. No, you have that surrender and attraction in that mood of that realm. Then you can be within that realm. Does that make sense? So Shravana Dasa means that you're that surrender, like the residents of Vrindavan. Varna Dasa then means that specific service. Does that make sense?
We need to understand first the attitude or the mood, and then the detail.
Yes, the attitude, the mood, and all that. Then there's specifics. You know. Now, however, he does not directly state this out of shyness, since his prayers for a position difficult to attain. Since he prays for a position difficult to attain. In the beginning, he mentions the plural, naha, we. But at the end, he mentions one person, ekaha. Since a rare object cannot be given to many. Right? So first he's talking about him, his associates, you know, all his entourage, everybody there, that they may all surrender to the Lord. But as he takes it further and further into this realm of Braj, then he's only talking about himself. Because the point is everybody can be blessed that they surrender, but how they're going to surrender and taking it to their specific relationship, that's individual. You know, that's why it says, you may be given the information, but you have to do it yourself. You know, probably gives that example of, you can be shown how to fly the plane, but you have to do it. You know, or it gives the example of the ducks. The ducks are all flying along. So they have their practices and all that. You don't see it as much now we don't have this pond out here. But what, I don't know if anybody remembers before when this was all water out there, that whole middle. And so then you'd have the whistling ducks. All those little black ducks and all that. They'd swim underwater and all that and they'd sit there. So they would come here and you'd see them many times go up and then go circle around like that. Just fly around in these big circles in a big flock. So what they were doing was practicing because all the new ducks, the baby ducks, you know, grew up. And now when it's going to be time to fly to wherever they're flying, you know, like that, then they're ready. So they can show them how to fly in together, how to do all those things, but the duck itself has to do the flying. They can't fly for them. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Or we will have to attain the mercy. Your associates already have that mercy by their nature. Right? The associate, because they have that full surrender, so they're already absorbed in that position. Mm-hmm. Bali Myers concluded, O Lord of all subordinate creatures, please tell us what to do and thus free us of all sin. Oh, maybe that's it. We found our politically correct term. Preachers. Right? Because then it covers all levels and all species. And how you say? So the chair creature.
There's a Bowman.
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 The whole discussion was about Bowman.
Oh, Bowman, yeah. So then he could be the bow creature. Or creature kind. The greater. You want to benefit all creature kind. That'll work. Okay. O Lord of all subordinate creatures, please tell us what to do and thus free us of all sin. Right? So, in other words, sin means not doing what is pleasing to the Lord. That's the actual ultimate definition. Right? We'll see that when we get to 11th canto. Is that what is pious means doing things that please Krishna, impious means doing things that aren't pleasing to Krishna. Right? But in the material world, if you perform the secondary activities that are pleasing to Krishna, even though you're not trying to please Krishna, it's called pious. But if you're not performing the secondary activities that please Krishna, to not please Krishna, then it's impious. But when you're talking on the platform of devotion, then what pleases Krishna, that's pious, and what's not pleasing Krishna, that's sin. You understand? So morality is much, much greater. Right? The modern concept of morality is just what we value. But the actual definition of morality is what Krishna values. Right? That's the real definition. Right? So therefore, he says, please tell us what to do. So then doing that, we will thus be free from all sin. Right? One who faithfully executes your command, O Master, is no longer obliged to follow the ordinary Vedic rites. Right? Those things that are dealing with the materialistic aspects, you don't have to perform them. All the kamika and all these, you don't have to do them. You just do those things, how much is there that maintains the body. So the acharyas give us enough to maintain the body so we can do our service. But more than that, it's not required. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, now please inform me of the purpose of your appearing like this before me. Please give your order. O Lord of those who are controlled, O Master. And then Krishna says, but what qualification do you have to follow my instruction? Then Bali says, make me sinless, though I am incapable of doing so myself. By hearing that order, I will become purified. Right? By hearing the order that you should do, you become purified so that you can follow the order. Right? You ever heard that when the order is given, the potency is given to follow it? Because by hearing the order, you get purified. So therefore, then you can apply it. But you see, his attitude is such, he wants to apply it. Give that order which will free me from all the injunctions and prohibitions of scripture, Chodana, so that I am not merely a slave to the rules. Right? Because if you're a prohibition in scripture, it means he's just not just thinking of the injunctions and prohibitions. Right? I should do this, I shouldn't do that, and all this. This gives this result, that gives that result. It's a matter of, I'm doing this to please Krishna. That means you're free from the rules. It doesn't mean you're not following the rule, but you're not following the rule because it's a rule. You're doing it because it pleases Krishna. If the order is something else, you won't be doing that. Right? The rule I'm going to follow, I want the result of that rule. But for the devotee, he follows the rule only because it's pleasing to Krishna. He doesn't want the results of the rule for himself. And so if he's given a different rule, then he follows that. Because it pleases Krishna. This is free from the rules, not I do nothing. That's called the mode of ignorance. Like that. Is that what you're saying? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand ki.